Next on BYUSN, let's push it forward. Five games in and five wins. So now which record is most likely for BYU football and how does it correlate to projected bowl games? College football analyst for Pro Football Focus, Max Chadwick, joins the show to discuss why he believes BYU has the best resume in the country right now.
Update that LinkedIn. Men's hoops, blue and white scrimmages tonight. What are we hoping to learn and see? Ed Eystone and Joey Noakes of number 2 men's cross country preview a big race in Oregon this weekend. And we get to know the Wildcats in an Arizona version of Know the Foe.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Happy Wednesday, October 9th. I am Spencer Linton alongside a man who's ready to visit the pumpkin patch, Jerem Jordan.
Love me a good pumpkin patch. My birthday's in October. My wife's birthday's in October. My sister-in-law's birthday's today. I have another. Yeah, anyway. October's fun, man. I had jaundice, so the doctor said, you look like a little pumpkin. So pumpkins have always been like a weird
thing. It was meant to be.
We went to a Smashing Pumpkins concert one year.
That we did.
We did the post game to an NIT game. NIT lost maybe 2013 or 14.
Let's not think about the loss.
Then we hustled up to Salt Lake, saw Smashing Pumpkins. It was great, man. Yegor Devin believes that fall is life, as they say.
He too is excited about the pumpkin patch.
Fall is life. He went to a pumpkin patch and did this. someone sent him a message and said, hey, recreate this. And so he saw a picture, recreated. I like it. It's a playoff of Football's life from Ted Lasso. So there, Danny Rojas.
People, if you did not see our initial interview with Yegor Demon, you should go back and watch it because he has a fantastic personality.
Yeah, he's fun.
Everything.
Nice guy.
From roller coasters to certainly basketball was discussed in that interview, and he's open to things like
American
this.
Culture. This is all new, let alone Utah stuff. You know what I mean? Let's go.
Just get that man to the corn maze already, okay? Pumpkin patch is out of the list. Now the next step is the corn maze.
That is the worst. You go home, you're like, I have corn in my shoe. Why did I go in there?
Only good vibes now. All rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
BYU was projected to win, what, 4 or 5 games preseason? And all of a sudden, they're 5-0.
It's loose. The Cougs will recover. Looking to scoop and score. Oh, my goodness. Can you believe that?
I can't believe it. What's trending? Presented by Tim Daly Ford, part of the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968. 14th-ranked BYU has played 5 games. They have 5 wins. And they are now 1 win away from becoming, technically speaking, bowl eligible. But which bowl game is most likely for the Cougars at this point?
That's Fiesta!
Only part of the conversation today. We're going to take a look at some of the more notable Week 6 bowl projections that feature BYU and then discuss which record it would take at the end of the regular season for BYU to feel good about getting to these projected bowl games. So let's start with this, Jerem. ESPN's Kyle Bonagura. May as well start at the top, huh? Has a college football playoff quarterfinal in the Verbo Fiesta Bowl against either number five Oregon, who won the 5-12 game, of course. And then 24/7 Sports also has the Fiesta Bowl in the college football playoff quarterfinals against the 5-seed Georgia. So, Jerem, if BYU is indeed to be the 4-seed and play in the Fiesta Bowl, yes, go get the blue goggles.
Go
get the huge blue goggles.
This is a little too.
Throw them on.
This is a little too blue goggled.
Once again, disclaimer.
Stay up here.
Disclaimer. This is not anybody related to BYU that has a dog in the fight for BYU projecting something because they like BYU.
Yeah, BYU is the 1 seed with these
just
on. Jeez.
National analyst.
Just get promoted to the NFL with these.
So with the blue goggles on, Jerem, how many wins does BYU need in the regular season to make a college football playoff?
28? To make the playoff, you probably need to be 0 or 1 losses to get in the Big 12 title game. I think there's so many very good teams. I don't think there's a great team in the Big 12. I hope it's BYU. That'd be great. I think you probably need to be undefeated or 1 loss to win. You need to win the Big 12. You need to get into the title game and win it, whatever that looks like. If it's 2 loss, Spence, I think there'll be a bunch of tiebreakers. But it's probably 0 or 1, and then you have to win that game. I don't think that a second Big 12 team gets into the playoff right now.
The path to getting into this college football playoff quarterfinal is winning the Big 12 championship game.
So it's the only way to me. It's Mandalorian style, yeah.
This is the way. You want to be the number four seed, you win the Big 12 championship game. You got the auto bid right
I don't even care what seed. Just getting in, but you would be a top five.
You would be a top four seed by nature, right? It's automatic. So that's how it has to. So really the question is, how many wins does BYU need to get to the Big 12 championship game?
Probably 11.
See, I feel like there is a scenario, because BYU has a win against Kansas State, where they could finish 7-2 in the Big 12 and be 10-2 overall and still find themselves in the Big 12 championship
game.
Depends
on all the tiebreakers.
That's right.
Like,
but it would come down to tiebreakers.
I think there will be three or four teams that have two losses in the Big 12.
Yes.
I think it's going to get sticky.
We're already headed that way.
Yes.
We're already headed that way.
Yes. So if you're one loss, you're probably in. You're the one team that gets in, and then it's a bunch of two losses. So we'll see. Okay, how about CBS Sports? Pop-Tarts Bowl versus Notre Dame. How many wins would BYU need to go there?
I'd probably put BYU at 9 wins. 9-3 at the end of the regular season. I think that they should feel good about playing in that game against a notable opponent. I would love that.
I think this is the most likely scenario that BYU is in the
Pop-Tarts Bowl. Love it. Yeah. 9-3. That means BYU goes 4-3 in the back seven. They wouldn't qualify for the Big 12 championship game.
No.
But, my gosh, I mean, let's go ahead and zoom out and look at big picture based on what BYU was projected to do this season. Is anybody can complain about 9-3 playing a huge name opponent like Notre Dame and
the
Pop-Tarts
Bowl? Some people might, because they think that Moore's out there, I think.
Well, Moore is out there for sure.
Right, but like, I don't want 4-3 down the final seven is probably most people's idea. Okay, number 21 NC State last year was 9-3. Kansas State was ranked 18th at 8-4. That was a good game. That was a good matchup. So, yeah, 9-3, potentially 8-4. It is interesting, by the way, the Pac-12 teams that are in the league have contracts with certain bowls. They're not in the same, like, bowl space as the other pre-existing Big 12 teams.
Which makes it better for a team like BYU.
Yeah, so BYU is not competing with Utah, Arizona, Arizona State, Colorado for bowl games this year. They are for contention in the league and the playoff, but they're not for the Pop-Tarts Bowl. Plus, as you chronicled last week with Dave McCann, Pop-Tarts need to be around here a little more.
How did he not?
What flavor was it that you gave him?
Until that moment, try a Pop-Tart. It was frosted strawberry. Classic. Classic frosted strawberry.
And he said he liked it?
Yeah, he ate more of it. Good. For what it's worth. We went to commercial.
Did you take off the crust before, or did you give it straight up to him?
No, I just gave him a corner piece
with the non-frosting part?
It was a big piece with the frosted part. So he ate the frosted part first.
Okay, good. Because I was like, just take off the crust.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Any game with an edible mascot is a win. Any game with an edible mascot is an absolute victory.
Does that include animals?
Hey, Notre Dame and BYU in the Pop-Tarts Bowl?
If it's like the beef bowl.
Holy cow.
The ribeye bowl.
Let's go to the Alamo Bowl. Okay. Another great bowl game with another
not edible.
Solid payout.
Yeah.
Not to settle for barbecue in San Antonio.
You share the payout with the Big 12, so the payout's not a big deal.
How many wins does BYU need to qualify for a game like the Alamo Bowl against USC, which is being projected by Brett McMurphy?
More prestigious here than Pop-Tart. Number 11 Arizona was 9-3 last year. Number 15, 10-2 Oklahoma was in that game.
That too was a great game.
That's even better. I think this is probably what reserved for your top, if not second best team that didn't make the Big 12 title.
But because of the Pac-12 component that you already brought up,
helps you.
BYU getting into a game like this does not feel like that much of a reach.
It could happen. If BYU is like the next team out of the Big 12 title game, they could go to the Alamo Bowl. That'd be awesome.
It could be.
So 9-3. It's like 9.5 based on last year.
Yeah. How? And again, the Pac-12, those four teams for BYU, for the Pac-12, they have ties to this game as well, right? The Alamo Bowl.
Ooh, good question.
So,
do they? They do as well.
Could two Big 12 teams play each other in this game?
They wouldn't. And it be non-conference like we had other matchups? Yeah, that'd be weird.
But let's say BYU didn't play Colorado in Big 12 play. Like, I'm not saying Colorado's going to get there.
Right. I don't hate that
BYU
idea.
BYU in Colorado in the Alamo Bowl?
I don't really care who BYU plays. It'll be someone cool.
Okay.
If they get to the Alamo, it's someone cool.
9-3 for me there, too.
Okay.
Same deal. 9-3 Pop-Tarts Bowl, 9-3 Alamo Bowl.
Great. ESPN's Mark Schlabaugh, the Liberty Bowl, which BYU went to in 2001 against Louisville, against Kentucky in this matchup. Mm. How many wins for that one?
One, I hate the matchup because it's an essential home game. It's a de facto home game for Kentucky.
It's the Mark Pope Bowl.
Going to Memphis.
Yeah.
it would be fun in that regard, yeah. thinking about it from, oh, yeah, there are some ties there for sure.
Jackson Robinson Bowl.
But I don't, 8-4 to me, this would be BYU having a losing record in the back seven. I think that would put them in the Liberty Bowl.
So Which is wild because they had to go 12-1 to get to the Liberty Bowl before.
I don't like that idea. I don't like the idea of BYU going 3-4 in the back seven. I think they're better than that. I think they will produce better results
at least
than 3-4. Yeah, and so what this tells me is Mark Schlabach doesn't have a ton of belief in what BYU is right now. He doesn't buy into the 5-0 mark for the Cougars.
Iowa State was 7-5 and went to this game last year, by the way.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. Well, Memphis was 9-3.
They were the fifth-place team in the Big 12, Iowa State?
Fifth place with 16 teams, a little different. The Pac-12 Bowl's kind of weird, right? So we'll see what happens there. But Liberty, prestigious. That I dare say BYU went to the Liberty Bowl. That'd be like the second most prestigious game they've ever been to outside the Cotton Bowl, right? Like it would tie for first in that regard.
Well, technically speaking, and I know this is throwing it way back, they've been in the Fiesta Bowl, right?
Right, but in 1974.
talking in the last 25 years.
Yeah, yeah. Well, when like the bowl explosion happened or whatever. Now there's like
the Vegas Bowl wasn't bigger than the Liberty Bowl?
No, it was not.
All right. ESPN and Kay Ford, speaking of projected records for BYU, have the Cougars at 9-3 as the most likely outcome for BYU in 2024. So straight up, do you feel like 9-3 is the most likely record given what we know about BYU 5 games in and 2 games into Big 12 play this season?
I would say yes. I feel like that's playing the percentages out, looking at how the teams have shaken out, what BYU's done. I would say yes. In fact, I put out a poll yesterday with the same idea, and I kind of coupled 12-0, 11-1 in one thing, 10-2, 9-3, one at 61%. Most of Cougar Nation that voted felt like 10-2, 9-3. I could see 10-2, honestly, like 5-2 finish in the last seven. I could totally see that. I see 4-3 as the most likely scenario there. And given 5-0, that feels a little disappointing right now. Like you're 5-0, then you go 4-3. Yep. You feel like you can beat every team here, Spence. Like at Utah is tough. It's not as tough as it looked before. Arizona went up there and won. Is Cam Rising ever going to play again? Like there are questions, right? At UCF still feels tough. We're hanging on to hope that everyone's okay with the hurricane this weekend. By the way, oh my gosh, Houston. Looked terrible 1 week. They looked better last week beating TCU. Arizona State's interesting with Cam Scataboo and Sam Levitt and whatnot. Kansas is 1-4, but like they've had winnable opportunities in every single
game. They're 1-5.
1-5. They could turn the corner any second. Like they just finish a fourth quarter, they start winning. I hope it's 5-2 down the stretch and you're 10-2 and we're like, dude, this was one of the greatest BYU seasons ever because it was in a power league.
I said it last week, if BYU can get through Arizona and Oklahoma State and be 7-0, they can hold serve on their home field in games they are currently projected to win, both of them, then 10 wins is now the standard. If you are 7-0,
got to get to 10.
10 should be the mark.
I agree with that.
But that obviously is contingent on if BYU can actually take care of business at Lavelle Edwards Stadium.
Every day!
And beat a weird Arizona team that has a win at Utah, but then went home and got into an ugly turnover-riddled game with Texas Tech.
Yeah.
Like, what is Arizona? Yeah. You survive that, and then can you get past what is shaping up to be, and I can't believe it is shaping up to be this, the classic trap game against Oklahoma State. Because they are playing bad football. They have lost 3 straight, but they are on a bye this week. Can Oklahoma State get right? They got 2 weeks to prepare.
Like they did last year.
They have 2 weeks to prepare for BYU coming into Provo. Can Mike Gundy rally that team and make that game weird?
Last year they lost to South Alabama and we gave up on them in non-conference. And then they went to the Big 12 title game. Who knows?
Got to get through the next two. Yep. When and if BYU does, 10 wins is now the mark. Right now it's 9.5.
And if you lose Saturday against Arizona, it unravels a little bit. You gotta beat Oklahoma State after that. Can you win at UCF? Every game matters, man. There's not a game where we go total loss or total win.
I can't wait to watch every week across the entire Big 12.
Love it.
It's
love it.
Unpredictability.
Kansas
and upsets
State, Colorado.
All over the
can't
place.
Wait for that one Saturday night. Hey, at House of BYU, post this question on X. Would you take a guaranteed 2-2 record through this 4-game stretch, the next 4 for BYU? If it were offered to you right now, What do you think? Would you take 2-2 or are you playing it out? And I already know your answer, but go ahead and say it.
No.
No way. Who's taking, no, who's taking 2-2 right now? Come on.
Where's Howie Mandel? Deal or no deal? What does the banker say?
I thought it was dill because we're in Utah County. My bad.
You helped me correct that about 11 years ago. When I came back from California with my Utah accent, dill or no dill.
Dude, down in Richfield. Yeah. You mean field? What? Okay.
2-2.
One Cougar fan isn't.
Heck no!
Is taking 2-2. No, I think we all feel strongly.
Taking that briefcase and throwing it out the window.
I feel like we think BYU can legitimately go 3-1 here. And that 4-0 is even possible.
Play it out because, notably, UCF isn't over the last two games who we thought they actually were.
And we're not letting them off the hook.
We are not going to just say, oh, well.
RJ Harvey, here's a win.
Chalk it up to a loss in Orlando. No, this BYU team is different. Jerem, we have asked questions about this team over the last three games. Can they avoid the letdown after SMU against Wyoming? Can they go and dominate? Yes. Oh, man, can they hang with the elite-level talent of Kansas State? Yes. Can they win a day game on the road? Can they win a Big 12 road game at all? Yes. So, yeah, can they go to the East Coast and do something that they haven't done very often against a team like UCF? I'm more inclined to believe they can.
Yeah.
So, no, I'm not taking 2-2. No. I'll roll the dice and hope BYU can get to 3-1.
We're playing it out, baby. We are playing it out. Because this team has shown us they can take the ball away. They're taking it away to a game. Jake Retzlaff's taking the care of the ball pretty well. 6 giveaways total for BYU. But they've overcome it with explosive offense. Certainly the run game needs more help. But guess who's back this week? LJ Martin, dog!
And
LJ
hopefully Sione Moa.
And hopefully Sione Moa. Everyone feeling good, getting healthy. So if BYU can get a decent run game, I didn't say good, I said decent. That really helps things. And get that success rate a little higher. Get that third down conversion rate up a little bit. Let's go. But BYU is led with the defense, been explosive on offense, taking care of the ball enough. It can always be better. Enough. I like where BYU's at, man. Let's roll the dice, see if BYU can't get 3-1. 4-0.
You go 3-1 the next four, then again, that spot in the Big 12 championship game gets a notable boost in percent chance of making that game.
BYU's win-out percentage, by the way, from ESPN, 1%.
They know what the Big 12 is.
Yeah, it's hard. BYU will lose a game. They may lose 2, maybe 3. Like, it's going to happen. It's just, can you limit that?
Okay. The question of the day is centered on that. ESPN and Kay Ford. Kelly Ford was on the show last week. Have 9-3 as the most likely finishing record for BYU in their 12 regular season games. What are your expectations for BYU's record this season? Meaning you. What are your expectations? At Carl Koalas on X answers, would be ecstatic with 9-3, as we all should be. I know there's more out there.
Right now it's 5-0. 9-3. Yeah.
He continues, that would exceed my wildest expectations from the start of the season. Hashtag BYUS on an X, Facebook, and Instagram.
Okay, Men's Hoops has the blue and white scrimmage tonight. By the way, the game not broadcast on BYU TV. The Men's Hoops team requested that it not be broadcast, so there it is. We're not going to show up with cameras and show it. But you can listen to it on BYU Radio. You can go to it for free. What do you expect to learn after tonight's scrimmage?
That the fans are very, very excited about BYU basketball. That's what I expect.
Midnight Madness looks
not that
awesome.
They aren't already, but everybody that goes will post all over social media about how unbelievable all the new talent is.
Yeah.
So it's exciting because it is a little bit of an exclusive event because it's not on TV. So if you get in the building, hey, you have that much more if you're in the area. More inclination and more drive to go and watch now. A lot of people probably would have stayed home, watched on TV. If you're in the now, like you want to see him, you go. And we will hear about it. It will be all over social media about how athletic and unbelievable Yegor Demin is and Cannon Catchings and how competitive Dallin Hall is.
Like, oh, Dawson Baker.
Everyone's favorite Richie Saunders is back and Dawson's getting buckets.
Kay Bakeda's throwing
an incredible
down.
3-point shooter in the alley oops to Kay Bakeda. Like,
Elijah Crawford's so quick.
We will all live it on social media. Yeah. So it's not like I don't think we're going to learn anything, but we will see that the fan engagement and the fan excitement will take a dramatic uptick.
I expect to learn 0.0 things. Just enjoy it. I want nobody to get hurt. I want it to be fun. Remember, last year, BYU got sick and didn't even hold this last year. I'm just happy they have one.
Yes. And I think moving forward, like the way that things are trending with major conferences and whatnot, like, it might be mandated in the future that things like this are shown, but BYU doesn't have to right now. So they're going to lay low and let the fans in the Marriott Center enjoy it, and that's
it. I promise you tomorrow you're not going to care that this wasn't broadcast. Like, we'll get into the exhibition with Colorado Christian.
You'll see actual games.
We'll see. They have a secret scrimmage plan that you don't know about. And then Central Arkansas on November 5th. Let's go.
Well, tonight, BYU will feature not one, but two top 25 NBA draft pick potential guys, according to Jonathan Givony, who released his first big board for the 2025 NBA draft. Yegor Damon, number 11. Cannon Catchings, number 23.
I know this doesn't deserve this. Like, from a... This is real. Like, this is real. This is exciting. We have two top 25 guys on an NBA draft board.
We need some realistic blue goggles because this is real.
Spence, if we had one guy, I would be putting these up, let alone two. Like, this is great. I'm super excited. Obviously, these guys need to develop, live up to the hype. The hope is that these guys are so good that they're one and done. That is the hope. Because I would love for this to be a factory of NBA players. I frankly, when Kevin Young said that at his press conference, I was like, it's going to take a lot of work. But little did I know Kevin Young's influence and ability and his staff that have done an incredible recruiting job. And I'm just not just talking about those two. I'm talking about the whole team, man. This roster is awesome. This is the greatest collection of talent in one roster that BYU perhaps has ever had. That's saying a lot. They haven't done anything yet. They haven't done anything.
That is saying a lot because BYU had multiple NBA guys on their team in the late 80s.
Yes, they did.
And in the early 80s.
Yes, they did. And with Brandon Davies and Kyle Collinsworth and Jimmy Fredette, you had three guys that eventually played in the NBA as well. But I dare say that this group is pretty special, and it's going to be fun to get this going.
We have not played a game yet in the Kevin Young era.
Again, unproven. But let's enjoy this ride together.
We will. Awesome. We will enjoy the moment.
Yeah.
Good times. BYU football and BYU basketball. Come
Remember
on.
Remember when we thought basketball was going to have to carry through football? No. Football's like, this is a football school. Please.
Indeed.
Child, please. If you missed last night's episode of BYU Football with Kalani Sitake, you can always find it on demand on BYUSN.com. Tomorrow's Kalani's birthday, buddy.
Happy early birthday, Kalani.
Yeah.
After the break, PFF college football analyst Max Chadwick joins Jerem Jordan and explains why he believes BYU has the number one ranked resume in all of college football right now. This is BYU Sports Nation.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968.
I mean, it's so exciting when the team is rolling. The first thing is you feel like you're going to win every game you play in.
Nobody thought this team was going to be ranked this year.
BYU is the only team in the country with two wins over currently ranked teams.
Like, I don't want to say we look for the attention, but we love it.
Live in Studio B with your day-to-day Cougar Sports play-by-play, Jerem Jordan alongside Spencer Linton. Earlier this morning, I spoke with Pro Football Focus's Max Chadwick, who does some good work with Pro Football Focus. He feels like BYU's got the best resume in college football. Here's my conversation with Max. Max, big fan of PFF and what you do with your show, so thanks for joining the program, man.
Of course, it's Rami on.
Okay, let's talk about the great quote that you put out there. Quote, BYU has the best resume in college football through 6 weeks. We love to hear it. We drink the blue Kool-Aid, put on the blue goggles here. Why do you feel like the Cougars have the best resume in college football?
Honestly, I mean, just look at the stats. I don't think there's much of a debate right now, right? I mean, look at who they've beaten so far this year. They beat Kansas State by 29 points. Kansas State is still number 18 in the country. They beat SMU. SMU is number 25 in the country as well. BYU is the only team in the country that has two wins against teams that are currently ranked in the top 25 right now. So I think their resume is the best in the country. And obviously, they're still undefeated as well, which goes into it too. And you look at Texas, who I think right now is the number one team in the country. And you look at who they've beaten, and they beat Michigan, which is a good win, obviously. But Michigan was a top 10 team at the time. But now Michigan, in my opinion, shouldn't even be ranked right now after suffering their second loss of the season. So that Texas win over Michigan doesn't really look as good as it used to. So I think, yes, it's going to change wildly. Like this week especially, it's an amazing week of college football. It's going to change how I think about the resumes, of course. But as of right now, as of this second, I think BYU is the best resume in the country.
Pretty wild considering BYU is projected to win, say, 4.5 games. They're already 5-0. You know, Fox coming in this week, big noon kickoff, all the hype, all the excitement. Was hoping Arizona would have beaten Texas Tech to make this a ranked matchup, which would have added to what you mentioned, which is perhaps the greatest regular season weekend we're going to get here on October 12th. But it should be a lot of fun. Okay, you mentioned the resume. Do you think that SMU and Kansas State, those two wins, will hold out to be good at the end of the year? Should BYU be in a position to say, blue goggles on, be in the playoff mix at the end of the year, and you start picking at that resume?
I think so. I think Kansas State's still going to be one of the top Big 12 contenders, and I think SMU this weekend especially established themselves as the biggest threat to Miami and Clemson in the ACC right now. I think SMU is probably the third best team in the Atlantic Coast Conference right now. So, yeah, I think those are two teams that are still going to be, you know, in the mix of it the entire season, honestly, probably. And BYU still has a lot of other chances, right? It's not like they just have those two games and then they have an easy schedule the rest of the way. No, they got a tough game against Arizona this week. They play, I believe, Colorado down the stretch as well. They have some tough Big 12 teams on the stretch of the season. So BYU has a chance to further pad its resume. Now, will BYU ultimately end up with a top 12 resume? That's going to be an interesting conversation. I'm not, as much as I love BYU and what they've done this year, I'm not still fully sold on them just yet. I still think this is probably going to be more of like a 9-3 type football team. And I think you probably have to get to 10-2, 11-1 to make it as an at-large Big 12 team if they don't win the conference title. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do the rest of the year. But as of right now, I mean, yeah, I think BYU certainly deserves to be in the college football playoff for what they've done so far.
I'm with you. I work here. I went to BYU. I still feel like there are a couple of losses probably on the resume. It's the land of very good. I'm not sure there's a great team in the Big 12. Maybe BYU goes on this crazy run. I'd love to see it. Don't get me wrong. But your 9-3 projection goes along with Kelly Ford and ESPN FPI, who are saying 9-3. So where do you feel like BYU perhaps could stumble, and is it this week?
Yeah, unfortunately, I actually did predict BYU to lose this week in our preview that just dropped yesterday. I think the problem with Arizona this year has been the run defense, and I know LJ Martin's coming back from injury, but BYU's run game has not been great, and if you can't dominate on the ground against Arizona, and all of a sudden this turns into a game between Nova Fita and Jake Retzlaff. I love Jake Retzlaff and what he's done this year. He's been one of those improved quarterbacks in the country. I do not think he's better than Nova Fita, though. Nova Fita is probably the second best quarterback in the Big 12, or at least very close to it, right? So he's excellent. So I think if it becomes a game between two quarterbacks, I think Arizona has that advantage. It is at BYU, though, which is a big, big home field advantage for them. So I do think Arizona could be one of them. They obviously play Utah at Utah, and Utah, as we know, other than Arizona lost a couple weeks ago, I think Utah's only lost one game at home since the 2021 season besides the Arizona loss. So that's going to be a tough one at Utah. Heck, even at Arizona State, Arizona State is 4-1 right now, right? Arizona State is coming out of nowhere a lot like BYU and is playing really well this year, so that could be tough. The whole Big 12, I mean, the Big 12 all around is a really loaded conference top to bottom, honestly. So I think BYU, there's probably a couple games and even maybe another one that they could potentially slip up and lose.
The hope is that BYU can keep it going, but every game is big, as you mentioned. We're talking to Max Chadwick of Pro Football Focus. We love PFF. We've subscribed to it. We get the numbers. We really like it. We use it all the time. You mentioned the Big 12 and the college football playoff. I'm wondering if a second team's going to get in there. There's just so much prestige and influence with the Big 10 and the SEC. Can the Big 12 get a second team in? Do you need a great team to get to that title game and then maybe get upset to get a second team in? Do you think there will be a undefeated or one loss Big 12 team that's in the mix and somebody else?
That's what's going to be a little worrisome if you're a Big 12 fan, because I just think this conference is like the Pac-12 in years past in a four-team playoff era. They're going to cannibalize itself, I think, this year. It's just, there's not really a clear, like, oh, this is the team or anything like that. And I just think they're all like kind of on similar levels. And when you have that, I mean, they're just going to beat up on each other, right? So As of right now, I struggle to see two Big 12 teams getting in. Obviously, the conference champion is automatically getting in, but I don't know if we're going to get two Big 12 teams right now, because it's not because of a lack of talent. I just think it's because that they're going to beat up on each other and they're going to cannibalize itself, honestly. So, yeah, I think that's why I'm a little queasy saying Big 12 is going to get two teams in, especially with the SEC looking as good as it does this year, the Big 10 looking as good as it does this year, and the ACC has been getting a team as well. And then you still got Notre Dame hanging around if they can run the table the rest of the year, which I'm not sure they will. But if they do, they will be in the playoff. And then obviously the group of five as well. You're going to get at least one team in there. So it's tough with the SEC and Big 10 having so many good teams. It's tough for me to say the Big 12 is for sure going to get a second team in there.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it's probably going to be a one-bid league, as we say in basketball. But we'll see. Hopefully there's two. That'd be fun. You and Dalton Wasserman do a preview show of a bunch of games. You always talk about the BYU game the last couple weeks. It's been great. I recommend people go and check that out on YouTube. A couple numbers that you guys mentioned that I want to talk about. that Arizona is passing a ton on first down, 55% of the time. And then BYU's got the number two coverage grade on first down in the country, you guys mentioned. What do you see in that matchup of BYU's very effective secondary and pass defense against, obviously, Fifita and McMillan, who might be one of the best combinations in the country of wide receiver and quarterback?
Yeah, I think that's an advantage for BYU in this game. I think that you look at that number, and I understand, like, it's you're getting really into the weeds when you're talking about one single down, but, like, Arizona kind of puts themselves behind the eight ball a lot on first downs this year, right? So they're not really doing great on first down, and when you do that and also you have a second and 10, that makes it really hard for you to start picking up first downs consistently, right? You need to have a good drive starter or even a good series starter to get there. So I think that they are really kind of trying to force the ball to Tetro McMillan a lot right now, which is understandable. He's the best receiver in college football, most likely. But at the same time, like, they got to do a little bit better job of getting to second and manageable, right? And I think BYU, like that stat shows, is BYU has been very good in coverage on first down. So Arizona, it's a big key in this game that they need to have good plays on first down to set themselves up for easier plays on second and third down instead of getting to second and long or third and long, honestly.
I'm really intrigued by Arizona. Tekario Davis is a 6'4" corner, which is like the tallest corner in recorded history. And then Tyler Loop is one of the most fun field goal kickers. The ball flies off his foot at elevation. He might make a 60-yarder. Arizona's interesting, right? They had that 9-game win streak snapped by Kansas State on a Friday night. Looked foolish in Manhattan, as many teams do. But then they win at Utah, and then they don't hold serve at home against Texas Tech. So what do you make of the Wildcats, who seem like they can be really high, very high, but then at times you're like, what team is that?
Yeah, they're such a roller coaster. And, you know, it's so frustrating for us because we actually picked Arizona to win the Big 12 preseason. And I believe we're some of the only people who did that because we saw the talent they have. The top end talent they have is great, right? Noah Fifita is one of the best quarterbacks in America. Tetro McMillan, like I said, is probably going to be a top five pick in the NFL draft. Tekario Davis, like you mentioned before, he's probably going to be a first round pick as well. Jonas Avainea, the right tackle, is probably going to be a first round pick as well. So they have so much talent on that roster. The problem is that they're very top heavy. You know, it's a top heavy team. So it's those star players and then not much else after that. So that's what's caused Arizona to lose these games. And hey, if your star players are not performing, you're not going to win these games, right? And BYU, for example, is kind of an opposite of that, right? Where they don't really have a true superstar on that team. But what they have is an all-around good team. Like, not very few weaknesses that you're seeing on BYU's team so far. And that's why they're 5-0 right now, right? I'd rather have a team that's good all around than a team that's just so dependent on a couple star players. But the reason why I'm still picking Arizona in this game is because I think Arizona matches up a little bit well with them. And I think if those star players perform well, with Tekario Davis and Noah Fifita and Tetro McMillan and everyone else, I think they could be really a really good team. It's just a matter of if those star players can actually carry them to victory. And I think it's possible in this game against BYU.
My favorite thing in the previews of BYU is that Dalton busts out, and you always mention it, the PFF ratings preseason of all the quarterbacks that Jake Retzloff took personally, right? This week you guys said, no, he's not going to run for 200 yards, but what if he runs for 150? He's BYU's leading rusher still because of a lot of issues, right? So what do you make of Jake Retzloff's performance this year? And please continue the fodder to motivate him in any way.
Yeah, well, I guess we have to, right? We're taking full credit for the Jake Retzloff resurgence. I'm just joking. He's been amazing, right? I think he's the biggest reason why BYU is 5-0 right now, because last year he had like a 48 grade, which was obviously very bad, and why Dalton had him as the worst quarterback in the Big 12, which those rankings are really just reflective of what you've done in the past, right? It's not really too much of what you're going to do in the future. So that's why he was the lowest ranked quarterback in the Big 12, but you know, to his credit, he improved dramatically, right? He had a 48 grade last year. He has a 78 grade this year. So making him bigger by 30 points is a massive jump for any player. And that's the biggest key, right? Because you look at BYU and the run game, just like last year, hasn't been good. And the reason why they struggled last year is because the run game wasn't good and the passing game wasn't good on offense. This year, you at least have the passing game to rely on right now. So Retzloff has been great. He's been a big improvement for them. And like I said, he's been the biggest reason why BYU is 5-0 right now. So we'll see if he proves us wrong this week with the rushing ability against Arizona. Because I think that is the key for Arizona's run D too, is that Arizona, when they've struggled on run defense, it's either been to an elite running back in Taj Brooks, which I like LJ Martin. LJ Martin's not an elite running back yet. He's still a young kid, so we'll see. or it's been to a team that can have, that has a quarterback who can run with the best of them, right? Avery Johnson from Kansas State, Devin Dampier from New Mexico. Those are two elite rushing quarterbacks. Retzlaff can run. Like you said, he's leading the team in rushing right now. I wouldn't say he's an elite rusher at quarterback right now. So we'll see if he proves us wrong this week again, like he's proven us wrong all year. But I do think that's why I'm a little bit, again, another reason why I'm maybe siding with Arizona, because I think their run D has another good matchup. Like I picked them in the Utah game too, right? Because I thought that run D against Utah, they didn't have an elite running back and they didn't have a quarterback who can run an elite level in Isaac Wilson. I thought Arizona was going to be able to do enough in that game, and they did do enough in that game. And I kind of feel the same way in this game against BYU. So we'll see how the run D actually is. And I think it's a big key in the game is can BYU's run game take some of the pressure off of Jake Retzlaff? I think we'll see what Retzlaff can do in this one. But it's been really fun to watch his resurgence this year.
The return of LJ Martin perhaps could be a big storyline in this game, first time since week 2. We appreciate the time, Max. We recommend everyone subscribe to the PFF College Football Show on YouTube. Check out stuff on PFF.com. Max, thanks for the time, man.
Appreciate you guys.
Thanks to Max. You can check out BYU in Arizona coming up Saturday, the 14th-ranked Cougars. BYU Sports Nation Game Day starts at 2 Eastern on BYU TV and ESPN+. Cougar pregame live on BYU Radio at 2 Eastern. Then the game, 4 Eastern, on Fox and BYU Radio. After the break, Jay Hill on the challenge of stopping Arizona's offense, BYU's chance to win the Big 12 championship, and some big transfer portal news. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem. I feel like we should roll out today's headlines.
Let's do it. Number 14 BYU football continues prep for Arizona on Saturday. Defensive coordinator Jay Hill spoke about the challenge of stopping the Wildcats' high-powered offense, specifically quarterback Noah Fifita and wide receiver Teteroa McMillan.
Well, they're phenomenal players, and they got others around them too. I mean, the receiving core is good, the running back's really good. I think the whole line is solid. And bottom line, we're going to have to be super sound with our techniques. We're going to have to do a good job disguising coverages. We're going to have to get some pressure in Fifita's face. Bottom line, these are two of the best in the country at what they do, and we're going to have to be on our A game.
Pre-game coverage begins at 2 Eastern Saturday on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
Arizona head football coach Brent Brennan spoke to the general media earlier this week about what he thinks stands out in Saturday's matchup against BYU.
And so going on the road, another hostile environment, they're extremely physical, they're very well coached, they play hard. Like all the, to me, in some ways, like physicality-wise, they're similar to what you experience when you play Utah.
BYU is currently a 5-point favorite against the Wildcats, or as Jason Shepherd puts it, an favorite underdog. He doesn't want anything to do with being
doesn't
a favorite.
Doesn't want that.
Yeah. Game kicks at 4 Eastern on Fox and BYU Radio.
I think the Utah fans like that comment from Brett Brennan, by the way. Men's basketball holding its blue and white scrimmage tonight at the Marriott Center. Game's open to the public, free admission, and will be broadcast on BYU Radio at 9 Eastern time.
Maybe we should just call it an under favorite.
Under favorite? Nice.
BYU basketball's freshman phenoms Yegor Demon and Cannon Catchings featured in ESPN's Jonathan Givony's top 25 on his very first 2025 NBA draft big board.
Demon
ranked number 11 in terms of best prospects, while Catchings is number 23 overall.
Both men and women's cross country ranked number 2 in this week's USTFCCCA poll. The men have held steady at number 2 behind Oklahoma State all season. The women jumped 3 spots with a strong performance last week at Notre Dame.
BYU men's golf, how about this? Advancing to the Big 12 Match Play Championship,
yeah,
which is taking place as we speak. The 6-seeded Cougars beat 3-seed Utah and 7-seed Kansas to advance to the championship round. They're currently up 4-0-1 against number 13-seed Baylor in that final round through 11 holes. Hey!
Looking great.
Pacing for a win.
Okay. Daniel Schneeman and the Cleveland Guardians play the Detroit Tigers today in Game 3 of the ALDS. Series tied at 1-1.
Some NCAA news. The Division I committee voted Tuesday to shorten the college football and basketball transfer portal window to just 30 days. In football, athletes will have a 20-day window in the winter and 10 days in the spring, so it's still broken up. For the current year, those dates will land on December 9th to December 28th and April 16th to the 25th. In basketball, the portal will open after the second round of the NCAA tournament and will conclude before the end of April. In all sports, an additional 30-day notification of transfer window will continue to open for student athletes the day after the departure of their head coach is announced.
Not a big fan of the men's basketball one. Your team may have not even finished the season if you're making a deep run and you don't know what the roster is going to look like and whatnot. It's kind of weird to me. And congrats to former BYU men's volleyball player and assist coach Hugh McCutcheon, who was announced in the ABCA Hall of Fame class of 2024. Hugh is one of the greatest coaches in volleyball in this country. Congratulations to Hugh.
Hey, BYU football isn't the only ranked team on campus. In fact, the men's cross-country team, number two, and their head coach, Ed Istone, and one of their stars, Joey Noakes, will join us next ahead of a big meet this weekend. This is BYU Sports Nation. Welcome back to Studio B and a live edition of BYU Sports Nation. Alongside Jerem Jordan, I'm Spencer Linton. It's time to cast a spotlight on the currently second-ranked BYU men's cross-country team with one of our favorites, their head coach, Ed Istone, and one of their rising stars, Joey Noakes. Welcome to the program, Joey.
What's up, guys?
Good to be here, guys.
How are we doing? Joey, it's good to see you with the shirt on. Typically, you guys just run around with shirts off around Provo, right?
Yeah, that's true. That's us.
It's hot out there, man.
It is.
Yeah, they're working.
I don't blame you.
They're working.
Yeah. Did you used to run with the shirt off, right? When did you call
it? I got to admit. Once you hit 40, the shirt needs to stay on, probably. But
okay.
Are we done? We can't run with the shirt off? I wouldn't run with the shirt off now.
Now I'm questioning if I can take my shirt off on the cruise next April.
When we're swimming. Yeah. Are we the shirt on guy?
Activity appropriate activities, okay? Swimming we can get away with, right?
Okay.
Hopefully.
Hey, settle down, Patrick Swayze. Okay. Because you had your moments, that's for sure, with that hair. Joey. Speaking of your coach, what's it like to work with a man who is so experienced and has traversed so many miles and has done so many great things, but to have him as a resource?
It's really awesome, honestly. Like, he's a man. We go up to Ed with, like, all our problems, questions, concerns. But he helps us be kind of self-sustained, too, which is really nice. It's like I don't have to ask him every day what I'm doing because, like, we already know what we're doing. And, like, the captains have kind of, like, we kind of run like the discipline and like something so that he doesn't have to. So it's great. We love it.
Has he taken your look from the 80s?
We're working on it.
When you pulled the triple crown and went through
actually,
the Olympics?
Actually, that is pretty close. We're working on it. And imitation is sincere flattery.
Uh-huh. Like sincere that. Flattery.
But
yes.
No, well, I appreciate him saying that in regards to the independence they have, because I do believe in teaching correct principles and letting them govern themselves to some extent.
Joseph Smith.
Yeah, there we go. You know, certainly there is some maintenance in terms of mileage and on our hard days and whatnot, but, you know, what they do is difficult enough that without having to have a tyrant cracking the whip over them. And if anything, I think I probably end up holding them back as much as anything in terms of what we do to get from point A to point B and to be in a good position to race well at the end of the season.
It's not atypical for BYU track and field and cross country to be a top three team. This is kind of par for the course, if you will, coach. But you're number two. You're staring at number one, Oklahoma State. You're in the same conference. So how has that rivalry evolved now that you're competitors in the Big 12?
Well, very much so. I mean, obviously, we're ranked number two. Oklahoma State's ranked number one. We know that the Big 12 meet will be like a national championship, essentially. In terms of the caliber. Plus, this year, it's going to be down in Waco, Texas, which is going to be warm. I like our chances at the Nationals maybe as well as at the conference meet, because we'll have more people, more teams in there. We'll have 31 teams to help put some people in between their top five. I've got a great pack, a great top five right now, and our 6 and 7 is going to be really strong as well. So I like our depth. If they could have any little bit of a hiccup, and we're hoping for snow because they do have some, I feel like we will run better in the snowy conditions, and they have some, they've done a really good job of recruiting the world, and they have some very good athletes that hopefully the cold, snowy conditions might affect them a little more adversely than us guys who grew up in the snow.
And Joey wants the snow. I can see it.
He wants the smoke, and he wants the snow. I like it.
Snow would be great.
Late November in Wisconsin. This is cross country. You run through the mud and the rain and the snow and that kind of thing. Joey, talk about the team this year, because you guys win the Nutty Comb on the course where you're going to run for the NCAA championships. Now you're headed to the Dellinger, inviting Eugene. I wish you guys could stay around for Oregon, Ohio State. That'd be fun, but I think you got to get back, right? The team's performing pretty well so far. What are you seeing?
Yeah, we've been really doing really well. I feel like the courses so far haven't really been an indicator too much for like nationals weather-wise, but I feel like we've been really packed up in races, and like that's what we do best at is like feeding off each other when we're in races, like seeing each other and like working together, and so that's been the case so far, and I think like going forward that's going to be how it is.
Ed Eystone and Joey Noakes of BYU Men's Cross Country are on BYU Sports Nation. Joey, in your bio it says at one point in your life you ate 30 slices of pizza in one setting. Okay?
What's the story?
Yeah, we need the story, but will you eat 30 slices of pizza if BYU's men's team wins another national championship? Will you do that in celebratory fashion?
Yeah, that's a good challenge. Maybe I'll do that, actually. but I can only do that after, like, a really hard effort run. So, like, it was in high school, and I had ran, like, at a meet, just ran the 2 mile. It was, like, really rainy. Hadn't eaten, like, the whole day. We all went to, like, this, like, all-you-can-eat pizza place. And, like, obviously they're not big slices. It's just, like, little ones of the dessert pizza. But, yeah, 30 slices down the hatch.
Let's go. Coach, will you join him in that effort?
Hey,
If
they win a natties, I will eat 60 slices. Okay?
Love that. This is going to be a busy weekend for you. You're coaching and you're broadcasting? Chicago Marathon? What's going on?
Right. Yeah. We've got the meet at Dillinger. We're leaving for today. That's why we're wearing these nice royal shirts. And then the race is on Friday. And then Friday, I think after the race and before I catch my flight, a direct flight out of Eugene, which there's not a lot of flights Eugene, to Chicago. I think I've got about an hour and a half after the conclusion of the race. And then, I've been doing the TV in Chicago for about the last 20 years. So this will be a fun one. I've got some people that I'm coaching there on the pro side of things that we hope have a good outing. But I can be completely unbiased even when I have people in the race. Obviously, Mance and Clayton Young ran that race last year.
Yeah.
And that was their first step in the three steps of getting to the Olympics is when they ran really fast Olympic qualifying times there.
No bias needed. We're actually going to have probably two moms who have sons on teams broadcasting this year. Amy Gant potentially could call a game of Ethan Gant men's volleyball.
Okay.
We'll see.
Okay, good.
And then Kristen Kozlowski is going to be in the studio, or some Brody is on the men's
volleyball. Wow, that's basketball
that's team.
Phenomenal.
Ain't no thing, dude.
We like to run our mouths, apparently. So.
It's a thing, right? No shame. Speaking of Connor Mance and Clayton Young, and I know we've had an opportunity to talk to you since the Olympics, but just as you look back on everything that transpired over the summer with BYU track and field, how would you sum that up for the special summer that was?
One word, probably magical. Magical. I mean, things just came together. It's so hard even to make the Olympic team, and then to have seven of our BYU track and field alums actually punch their ticket on that day with all that pressure involved, and then a couple of them having extenuating circumstances where it wasn't enough to punch it once, a la James Corrigan had to fly across the country, last second meet that we put together, and to punch it again, and then go from that to actually Paris. And the performances that we saw there were so inspiring, goosebump propelling sort of performances with Mance, Young, and obviously Kenneth Rooks, probably tops it, bringing home the silver medal. Amazing. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Did you guys enjoy it?
Are you kidding
me? Amazing.
Are you kidding me? That was incredible.
Were you screaming at the TV?
Absolutely.
I was taking a shower.
During
Kenneth Rooks' race. I thought that my neighbor was going to come over and think that something was wrong. Yeah. It was crazy. So awesome. Thanks, guys. Best of luck in Eugene at the Dillinger Invite. And have a good flight after that.
I appreciate it.
And they're all Olympians, but they haven't eaten 30 slices in one. You got that on all of us.
That's right, baby.
Hey, great to have you in studio.
Thanks, guys. Hey, men's basketball blue and white scrimmage tonight. You can listen to it at 9 Eastern on BYU Radio.
After a 5-0 start, what are your expectations for the regular season record after 12 games for BYU football? This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation with our question of the day. ESPN and K-Ford have 9-3 as the most likely regular season record for BYU. What are your expectations for the Cougars this season? Our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated, comes from Brock Fillmore on Instagram, who says 9 wins minimum.
Okay.
However, 10 or 11 wins definitely within reach.
Agreed. Let's keep it going.
Today's Rise and Shout Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
BYU alum Ryan Smith, whose Utah Hockey Club debuted last night, 5-2 win against the Chicago Blackhawks. Pretty cool to have a BYU owner of a bunch of different teams, yeah, notably NBA, NHL, MLS, NWSL in Salt Lake. Pretty cool, man.
Thriving sports market. Ryan
Smith.
It was
fun to watch. Fun to watch.
Our thanks to today's guests, Max Chadwick, Ed Isone, and Joey Noakes.
Sorry to Dennis. No time.
For Jerem, I'm Spencer. Shout out to John Ross. Go Cougs!